Welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast with Glenn Blakeney. Here the fire of revival ignites hearts and fuels a supernatural move of God throughout the nations of the earth. Join us each week for prophetic insights, apostolic teaching, and powerful conversations that will equip you to live fully awakened in your kingdom purpose. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. Learn more about us by visiting kingdomreformation.org. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome back, everyone. Really glad you could join us for another deep dive.
Great to be here.
Today, we're tackling something pretty fundamental, actually. It goes right to the heart of how we think about faith and spiritual growth.
It really challenges some common assumptions, doesn't it?
It really does. It's not just theory. You know, it feels more like a living blueprint for a life with real purpose and impact.
Mm-hmm.
And this deep dive is brought to you by our friends at Awake Nations with Glenn Blakeney and the Kingdom Reformation community.
Always appreciate their work and insights.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. What does it really mean to move beyond just, you know, that initial excitement of belief?
That first step.
Into something more robust, a mature faith. And maybe more importantly, why isn't this just optional? You know, like extra credit.
Right, not just for the super keen.
Exactly. Why is it absolutely essential for every single one of us?
That's the core question.
We're diving into some really illuminating insights today from Glenn Blakeney. We're focusing on his powerful article over on kingdomreformation.org. It's called From Tenon to Hios, The Journey to Spiritual Maturity.
It has that aha moment potential, definitely. Especially if you've ever felt maybe a bit stuck.
We're wondering if there's more.
And this isn't about, you know, adding new rules or hoops to jump through.
No, definitely not.
It's more like uncovering a deeper, more ancient call. One that, as Blakeney points out, maybe we've sometimes overlooked or maybe misunderstood in the way we often talk about faith today.
Yeah, that feels right.
So our mission really is to pull out those vital nuggets of wisdom, the things that can genuinely transform your understanding of how we grow spiritually.
Moving beyond just conversion.
Right. Past that initial experience to a life of, well, profound and ongoing transformation. It's about stepping into the fullness of who you were always meant to be.
And what's so interesting is where this whole conversation kicks off.
John chapter 8.
Let's set the stage with that scripture. John 8, verses 30 to 32. It reads, "As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" What's so arresting is the context, right? Who he's talking to.
Not the skeptics.
Not his opponents. Not people hearing him for the first time. He's talking specifically to people who had already believed in him.
They'd already made that commitment, seemingly.
Right. Outwardly, they look like new converts. They heard him. They were moved. They responded with what seems like genuine faith. You'd almost expect him to just say, "Great, welcome aboard."
Affirm the belief as the goal.
But he doesn't do that, does he? Straight away, he gives this charge, this condition almost, for true discipleship. If you continue in my word, it's like he's saying believing is fantastic. It's the doorway, the absolute start. But it's not the destination.
That's precisely it. That shift in focus is immediate and profound. From just that initial act of believing to this ongoing dynamic process, abiding. It's about endurance. It's about a sustained walk with him.
Not just faith, but fruitfulness, like you said earlier.
Exactly. A life that's continually shaped by his teachings. And it really makes you ask, doesn't it? What deeper realities are we not getting if we think conversion is the finish line? Jesus right here challenges that whole idea. True discipleship and the freedom that comes from knowing the truth. Well, it hinges on continuing, on abiding, staying immersed in absolutely a deepening relationship, not just a one-time decision.
And this is exactly where Glenn Blakeney's article brings so much clarity. He really nails this point. He argues that, you know, maybe unintentionally, we've kind of made believing the end point.
Yeah, the celebration stops there sometimes.
We celebrate conversions, and we absolutely should. It's amazing. It's a miracle of new birth. But then maybe we fall short in calling people into the fullness of the life Jesus actually describes. Mm-hmm. And that life isn't just about getting your ticket punched for heaven. It's this consistent, intentional life of abiding in him, following his ways diligently, constantly surrendering our stuff to him.
Yeah, embracing that ongoing growth.
Jesus wasn't just trying to get decisions. He came to make disciples. And discipleship, well, it's a process, isn't it? It's lifelong, becoming more like him.
It's that progressive unveiling of God's character in us, drawing closer to the Father's heart. This leads to what Blakeney calls a kind of spiritual epidemic.
That sounds strong, but I think he's onto something.
Well, that we've unintentionally raised maybe generations of believers who, you know, they have sincere faith, absolutely, but they don't really mature beyond a sort of spiritual infancy.
Crowds, but maybe not sons.
Exactly. We've produced large crowds, which has its place, but maybe not consistently raised up mature sons and daughters, people who truly carry the Father's image, his character, his authority.
We embrace the forgiveness,
which is foundational. Absolutely critical.
But resist the formation.
That's it. We resist the sometimes uncomfortable process of being shaped, molded into Christ-likeness. But God's call hasn't changed. He's not just looking for people who say yes once.
Or just show up on Sunday.
He's looking for those who continue in his word, who actively pursue that full spiritual stature, are ready and able to represent him, the Father, on earth with integrity, wisdom, power.
The huios sons and daughters.
Those are the ones. The ones the article focuses on. The ones Romans 8 says creation is literally groaning, waiting for.
Wow. Okay. That sets up this distinction perfectly.
It's a critical distinction. And exploring it is really the heart of this deep dive.
Absolutely. And this isn't just, you know, theological hair splitting. This is the pathway to deep personal change and making a real difference. So let's really dig into this journey from tenon.
The child.
To mature sonship. From just receiving the kingdom to really fully representing it in everything.
Letting it flow through us.
Yeah, shaping the world around us. Okay, so to really get our heads around this journey, we have to start with the language. Specifically, these two Greek words, they pop up all over the New Testament.
Tenon and huos.
Right. And often in English Bibles, they both just get translated as son or child, which kind of masks a huge difference in meaning.
Once you see the distinction, it changes how you read things. It really shifts your perspective on who you are and where you're headed spiritually.
It's one of those aha moments.
So let's break it down. First, tenon. T-E-K-N-O-N. This refers to a child by birth, literally someone born of God.
This is step one.
This is the starting point, the glorious foundational reality for every single believer. The second you put your faith in Christ, bang, you're saved by grace, you're made alive spiritually, you are adopted, brought right into God's family.
It's a miracle.
Totally undeserved. It's a gift. This is your new identity, and it's unchangeable. Ephesians 1, Hebrews 4, Luke 10, Romans 8, they unpack the blessings. You're accepted, sealed by the Spirit, you have direct access to the Father, authority over darkness.
But you're an heir. Co-heir with Christ.
Exactly. Sharing in this incredible inheritance. Mm-hmm. And the key thing, that this is all grace. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. And nothing you do or don't do can ever change that core identity as God's child, his tenon.
It's secure. Forever.
Absolutely secure. It's the gift that places you in the family.
And that is just incredible news, isn't it? That's the freedom we step into. It's the starting line. Mm-hmm. But, and this is where Blakeney's article really hits home, so many of us, maybe without even realizing it, just kind of stop there.
Camp out at the starting line.
Yeah. We thank God for salvation, which is right and good. But maybe we don't fully lean into the Holy Spirit's ongoing work, that work of growing us up, maturing us.
And we celebrate belonging to the family, enjoy the perks.
But maybe don't fully step into the responsibilities, the heart of the Father for his world.
Exactly. We stay content, maybe, in that state of spiritual infancy. We're unaware or maybe even a bit unwilling to pursue the more that God actually intends for us.
Like having the keys to the kingdom, but never learning how to rule.
That's a good way to put it. Having the inheritance, but not knowing how to steward it. So being a tenon is an eternal identity. It's secure and never changes. But childhood itself, it's beautiful. It's necessary for a season.
Well, it's not meant to be permanent.
Exactly. Blakeney is crystal clear. You are born again, not just to passively receive your inheritance, but to mature into someone who can handle it properly, steward it, wield the authority that comes with it, expand its influence.
Which brings us to huios, H-U-I-O-S.
This points to something much deeper than just the birthright. It signifies a mature son or daughter. Precisely. It's a developmental designation. A huios is someone who has been trained, tested, proven trustworthy,
and then
entrusted with the father's authority, his business, his reputation. Think about it like a king's newborn son. He's instantly royalty, an heir by birth, a tenon, but he's totally dependent, can't rule. Now, picture that same prince years later. He's been tutored, mentored, tested in loyalty, proven himself in smaller things.
Now he's ready.
Now he's ready to step up, to govern. That's the progression to huios. It's not about earning your sonship that's the gift. It's about growing into the capacity to handle the responsibility and authority that comes with being a son.
Okay, and Romans 8 connects this to the Spirit.
Exactly. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons. It shows that huios maturity isn't just automatic when you get saved.
It's a call.
It's a call to live a certain way. A life of intentional surrender, being led, guided, transformed by the Spirit day by day.
That distinction is massive. So if that's the goal, this huios maturity, what does it actually look like for us, practically? Is it about perfection?
That's the key question. And the ultimate model, of course, is Jesus.
Right.
Blakeney's article highlights something really profound about Jesus' journey. Remember his baptism, Matthew 3. The Father speaks from heaven.
This is my beloved Son.
In whom I am well pleased. But notice the word used there for son. It's huios. This declaration comes before Jesus does any public ministry. Before the miracles, before the sermons, before gathering disciples.
Before all the stuff we usually focus on.
It's not primarily about external performance or what you accomplish publicly.
It's internal.
It stems from that internal reality. Those hidden years, Jesus spent years of quiet obedience, deep intimacy with the Father, growing in wisdom and stature. That's what produced this profound maturity. The Father could trust him. With his name, his voice, his mission. Not because of outward deeds yet, but because of who he was inside.
That completely reframes it.
It does. Yeah. Huios maturity isn't about achieving flawless behavior. It's about a settled internal obedience, heart posture. It's not striving to earn favor.
To surrender.
Deep, trusting surrender to his transforming work. And it's not just about having spiritual gifts, as amazing as they are. It's about Christ-like character.
Formed in the fire.
Formed in the fire of communion with God. It's his holiness rubbing off on us, his patience becoming ours, his love flowing through us, being changed from the inside out, becoming a reflection of the Father.
That's such a powerful picture. And it feels, well, challenging, but also really aspirational. This isn't just abstract stuff. It's a call to live differently, deeper. And Glenn Blakeney doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't leave us guessing what this internal change looks like on the outside. He actually lays out 5 distinct marks, 5 tangible signs of this kind of growth.
Yeah, they're incredibly practical.
Really helpful for us to look at in our own lives, right? As a kind of roadmap. Maybe not exhaustive, but a great guide.
Definitely. So the first mark he identifies is Spirit-led living.
Okay. What does that mean exactly?
Much more. It means your decisions, your direction, your day-to-day navigation isn't primarily driven by impulse or what culture says, or pressure from others, or even just your own fleshly desires and comforts.
It's governed by the Spirit.
Right, governed by the Holy Spirit. And if you connect that to the bigger picture, like Blakeney does, it completely shifts how you operate. You move from being reactive, constantly putting out fires, just responding to life's craziness.
Which feels like most days sometimes.
Doesn't it? You move from that to being responsive, sensitive to the Spirit's leading, his nudges, his checks.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Imagine a tense meeting at work. Someone immature might just react emotionally, defend themselves, push their agenda. But a huios, someone living Spirit-led, might sense the Spirit prompting them to hold back or to offer a word of peace or maybe ask a clarifying question instead of attacking. They're listening inwardly.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Exactly. It implies this deep, ongoing connection, relying utterly on the Spirit's guidance. Your internal GPS is tuned to him.
Wow. I can see how that changes everything. Okay, the second mark builds on this. Obedience without delay.
This is a tough one sometimes, but crucial. It means developing a habit of responding immediately when you sense God speaking or prompting you.
Even when it's uncomfortable.
Especially when it costs you comfort or convenience or your own plans or even what feels safe. It's the opposite of procrastinating or rationalizing it away or that subtle self-protection that makes us hesitate.
We all have that spiritual snooze button, don't we?
We do. We hear the prompt, but think, later, or surely he doesn't mean right now. But Blakeney points out, this immediate obedience, it doesn't just build trust with God, it strengthens our own character.
How so?
Every time you obey quickly, even in small things, it reinforces your resolve. It deepens your faith muscle. It makes the next act of obedience a little bit easier, more natural. It's like building spiritual muscle memory.
So you get better at hearing and doing.
Exactly. The more you do it, the more reflexive it becomes.
Okay, that makes sense. It's about forming those habits of righteousness. The third mark, emotional stability.
Now, this doesn't mean becoming like a robot or never feeling things deeply. Sadness, anger, joy, those are all part of being human.
Right. Not stoicism.
Not at all. It means you're no longer ruled by your circumstances or your emotions. Your inner state, your core peace, isn't dictated by the external chaos. It's anchored.
Anchored in what?
In eternal truth. In your secure identity in God's unchanging love. Regardless of the storms outside, it's that inner calm, that deep well of peace that comes from knowing who you are and trusting His sovereignty. Think about how you handle stress or a sudden setback or conflict. Imagine two people facing this same job loss. One might spiral into anxiety, fear, blame, utterly destabilized. The other, the mature son or daughter, they feel the shock. They acknowledge the challenge, absolutely, but they remain anchored. There's an underlying peace that allows them to seek God's wisdom, make clear decisions, trust Him for the future.
That stability isn't just personality, then.
No, it's a fruit of deep, abiding trust in a good father.
That's a peace the world is desperate for, isn't it? Fourth Mark Blakeney highlights, sacrificial love.
Yeah, this one really gets to the heart of it. This is a love that actively gives, serves, forgives without needing anything back.
No applause needed.
No applause, no recognition, no quid pro quo. It's a love that actually reflects the cross in how you treat people, even difficult people, even people who've hurt you.
Going beyond just, I'll be nice if you're nice.
Way beyond that. It's truly selfless, laying down your own desires, your comfort, maybe even your rights for the good of another, mirroring Christ. Wow. It's the most powerful demonstration of who we are as God's kids. It's the kind of love that radically changes things. It's really the Father's heart beating through us.
This really does sound like God's own DNA, doesn't it?
Yes.
That kind of love draws people, not by force, but just by its beauty. And the fifth mark, generational vision.
Right. This means thinking beyond just yourself, beyond your immediate needs, your personal comfort zone, even beyond your own lifespan.
Thinking bigger picture.
Much bigger. It's about actively investing in others, discipling them, helping them grow, intentionally multiplying whatever God has entrusted to you, insights, resources, character strengths, opportunities.
So it moves beyond just my personal salvation.
Absolutely. From just personal blessing to genuine kingdom impact that ripples out, potentially across generations, it means seeing yourself as part of this huge unfolding story God is writing.
Not just consuming, but contributing.
Exactly. Contributing to His ongoing work, leaving a legacy that lasts, building for the future.
And that could look like mentoring someone.
Or championing justice in your sphere of influence, or raising godly children, or building healthy community, all driven by seeing God's kingdom come on earth.
Okay, these five marks are incredibly inspiring. They paint a picture of what we're aiming for, what God's calling us into. But this deep dive, drawing from Blakeney's work, it doesn't just offer encouragement. There's also a very clear, quite sobering warning.
Yes, and it's crucial we don't skip over this part. It comes straight from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5.
It's pretty direct, isn't it?
Pulls no punches. The writer says, starting in verse 11, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Out. Then he continues, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food.
Still on milk.
For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
The audience here is key. Right?
Absolutely critical. He's not talking to brand new believers here. These are people who've been around, people who, as he says, by this time ought to be teachers. They've had the time, the input, the opportunity to grow.
But they haven't.
The diagnosis is stark, dull of hearing. It implies a kind of spiritual apathy. A resistance, maybe, an unwillingness to put in the effort to digest deeper truths spiritually. They need milk, the elementary stuff, because they can't handle solid food, the deeper realities of the faith.
And the consequence.
The implication is serious. They are unskilled in the word of righteousness. It means they lack the practical skill, the wisdom, to apply God's truth effectively in their lives, to live righteously, to make godly judgment.
You know what I mean?
Childish, not because they're new, but because they refuse to grow. They're stuck. And contrast that with the mature. Solid food is for the mature. Who are they? Those whose powers of discernment are trained. through constant practice. It's an active thing. Diligently engaging with God's word, applying it, learning to distinguish good from evil, truth from error, God's way from the world's way. It's about practical wisdom in action.
Okay, so the core warning here
is profound. Staying stuck in spiritual infancy isn't neutral. It's not okay. It's not just a phase you can stay in indefinitely. It is, the passage implies, actually disobedient.
Wow.
And as Blakeney really emphasizes, it grieves the father's heart. Think about an earthly parent. You love your baby, your toddler. But if they hit 30 and still insist on diapers and being spoon-fed, refusing all responsibility,
you'd be heartbroken.
You'd still love them, but you long for them to grow up to step into their potential. It's similar spiritually. This Hebrews passage is a wake-up call. Stagnation is dangerous. Maturity isn't just a nice suggestion in the kingdom.
It's an expectation.
It's woven into God's design for us. He wants us to grow into the full stature of Christ.
That is incredibly sobering, but necessary. You were born to grow, saved to be sent, redeemed to reign. Staying stuck just contradicts the life he put in us. It's an urgent call for every single believer. Common barriers to maturity. If this journey to maturity is God's plan, his expectation, his deep desire for us, why is it that so many believers, maybe even ourselves at times, seem to get stuck? We start well, but then stall.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And Glenn Blakeney's article tackles it directly. He identifies some common roadblocks, common barriers that tend to trip people up on this journey.
And knowing them is key to overcoming them.
And one really significant barrier he talks about is father wounds.
Father wounds. Explain that.
These are the ways our experiences with our earthly fathers, or maybe the lack of a father figure, can distort how we see God the Father. If your dad was absent or critical or abusive or maybe just emotionally distant, or if his love felt like something you had to earn, that can deeply, deeply cloud your ability to trust God as a truly loving, present, reliable, good father.
You project your earthly experience onto God.
Exactly. And that hinders growth massively because foundational trust is everything in our relationship with God. If you can't fully trust his goodness, his motives, his love for you, how can you surrender to his process? How can you receive his discipline as loving correction?
So healing is needed first.
Healing from those past wounds is crucial for spiritual flourishing. It really raises that question. How much does our past, especially those core relationships, shape our ability to receive God's love and his guidance? If we're still seeing him through a lens of hurt or mistrust, maturity becomes very difficult.
That's huge. What's another barrier?
Another big one Blakeney identifies is performance Christianity.
Performing for God.
It's that subtle, often unconscious trap of trying to earn what God has already given freely by grace.
Believing our worth depends on what we do.
Believing our acceptance, our standing with God, even our spiritual growth depends on our effort, our good deeds, our religious activity, how well we follow the rules.
Instead of resting in grace.
Right. It completely misses the point of grace.
Yeah.
And it leads straight to burnout, exhaustion, and often a sense of never quite measuring up. You're on this treadmill of trying to impress God or others instead of being liberated by his grace to just...
It really is like trying to pay for a gift someone already gave you.
It's constant striving instead of abiding. And a third major barrier Blakeney mentions is fear of responsibility.
Fear. Fear of what?
Well, growth always involves stepping into more, right?
Yeah.
Maturity often brings greater responsibility, maybe increased spiritual authority, carrying more weight for the kingdom.
It requires risk.
And some people are just afraid of that cost. Afraid of stepping out of the comfort zone. Afraid of failing, maybe, that comes with spiritual influence. Fear keeps them from stepping into the very purpose God designed them for. It can feel safer, simpler to just stay in that spiritual infancy stage. Even if it means missing out on the abundant life and the impact God wants them to have. It's fear of the unknown, fear of the weight of being a trusted huios.
Those are some significant barriers.
But here's the liberating counterpoint. The good news. Growth isn't ultimately about us qualifying ourselves. It's not about us becoming good enough through sheer effort. It's about surrender, continually surrendering to the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. He's the one doing the maturing work. God isn't demanding perfection before this. He'll use us or grow us. He's inviting our participation, our willing cooperation with his grace.
It's a partnership.
Exactly. A partnership with him in our own transformation.
Okay, that's really encouraging. So if we're ready to face those barriers, ready to cooperate with the Spirit, how do we actually do this? How do we make this journey from tenon to huios?
The practical how-to. And the article, thankfully, gives us a clear path. Glenn Blakeney outlines some actionable steps.
Where does it start?
It starts, fundamentally with intimacy as the foundation. This is non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. You have to walk closely with the Father, consistently, intimately. Blakeney says it straight. Abiding is not optional. It's essential.
Everything flows from relationship.
Everything. All true growth, all lasting change, all real kingdom impact. It flows out of that deep, daily, personal connection with God. Staying close, walking with him, learning to hear his voice above all the other noise.
Not just checking boxes.
No, it's a living, breathing connection, like a child really engaged with their loving parent. You can't grow into the Father's image if you don't actually know him intimately.
Yeah.
That relationship is the source. Secondly, discipline provides structure. Those classic spiritual disciplines, consistent prayer, time in scripture, heartfelt worship, maybe fasting, times of silence.
Sometimes they feel like religious duties.
Right. And Blakeney reframes that brilliantly. He calls them relational rhythms, not obligations, but rhythms that create the space and structure for intimacy to actually flourish. They provide the framework for the Spirit to work in us. And Blakeney really emphasizes scripture here. He says, let scripture read you, shape you, confront and comfort you.
So not just reading about God, but letting God speak through it.
Yes. Letting it penetrate your heart and mind, change how you think, reorder your priorities. These disciplines are like channels for God's grace to flow and his character to be formed in us.
I love that reframe. Relational rhythms takes the have to out of it and makes it a get to.
Third, obedience is the fruit of love. This ties back to what we said earlier.
It's doing it.
It's actively living it out day by day, obeying his voice, his commands, even when it's hard, even when it costs you something, even when it doesn't make logical sense right away.
And this isn't legalism.
No, because the motivation is different. It's not obeying to earn love. It's obeying because you love him. When you truly love someone, you want to please them, right? You want to honor what they ask.
True.
And obeying God doesn't just prove your trust in him. It actively strengthens your character. Each yes to him chips away at the old self and builds up the new Christ-like nature. It literally shapes who you are becoming.
It's putting legs on our belief, isn't it?
Yeah.
Making it real. Okay, fourth pillar. This one's maybe countercultural today.
Community is the context for growth. Blakeney really stresses this. Growth happens in the body of Christ. No one matures properly in isolation.
We need each other.
Desperately. With all the dynamics, the interactions, the learning from each other. Not in solitude. Isolation stunts spiritual development.
So going it alone doesn't work.
It doesn't. We need the wisdom, the encouragement, sometimes the loving challenge, the accountability that only comes from being deeply connected with other believers on the same journey.
It's in community that the rough edges get smoothed off.
Often our blind spots get revealed. We learn to love like Jesus loves messy as it sometimes is. We simply cannot fully reflect Christ or step into our huo's calling alone.
That's a vital reminder. Okay, what's the fifth step?
And this can be uncomfortable too. Correction accelerates growth.
Ooh, discipline.
Yep. Blakeney reminds us of what Proverbs and Hebrews teach. God disciplines those he loves as sons. It's not punishment and anger. It's loving correction aimed at our growth and holiness.
A sign of belonging, not rejection.
Exactly. So we shouldn't despise it or resent it. We should try to embrace it as a loving act from our Father. Welcome it. Whether it comes directly through the Spirit convicting us or through his word cutting deep or maybe through wise counsel from trusted people in our community.
Which raises that question.
Are we truly open? Are we teachable? Are we willing to be refined even when it hurts our pride or challenges our ideas? That openness is a hallmark of humility and it's a fast track to growth. It's how God purifies us.
Intimacy, discipline, obedience, community, correction.
That's the path. And yes, it takes time. It's definitely a lifelong journey, a marathon. But the key takeaway from the article on this is powerful. This growth must happen.
We're not meant to stay in spiritual diapers.
Exactly. We're called to walk in kingdom authority, to represent our Father well.
That's such a clear and practical pathway. It really helps make sense of the how. But it brings us back to the bigger why. Why does God want us to mature? Is it just about him getting more out of us? Like, he needs more workers.
That's a really important question, and I think Blakeney offers a beautiful, liberating answer that flips that perspective. God isn't calling us to maturity primarily to extract more from us, like some cosmic boss needing more productivity. He's calling us to maturity so he can entrust more to us. See the difference.
Entrust, not extract.
Exactly. It's an invitation, not just an obligation. Think about a good earthly parent. They don't want their child to stay dependent forever.
No, you delight when they grow up.
You delight. You rejoice when they mature, when they develop wisdom, character, capability. You love being able to trust them with more significant things, responsibilities, resources, maybe even representing the family. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. He genuinely delights in our growth. He celebrates our steps towards maturity. And the core idea here, Blakeney emphasizes, is about capacity, spiritual capacity.
Meaning?
Maturity expands our ability to receive more from heaven, more revelation, more wisdom, more of his presence. But it also expands our ability to steward what he gives us, the gifts, the insights, the spiritual authority. And crucially, to release it, to let heaven's resources, his love, truth, healing, power flow through us into the world around us. Maturity makes us a wider, clearer, stronger channel for his kingdom.
So as we grow, he can trust us with more.
Yes. Deeper insights. More profound experiences with him, greater authority to impact situations, more significant assignments in his kingdom work. It's a deepening partnership fueled by our growth, the fruit of maturity in the world's waiting.
That is such an inspiring vision, not just for our own lives, but for the impact we can have. So what does this look like then? When believers are walking in this huos maturity, what's the tangible fruit? What do we see in our communities, our workplaces, our families?
How does it actually manifest? Well, as people consistently walk this path, the transformation becomes pretty visible, and it blesses everyone around them. You start seeing people who walk in this deep, quiet peace, even when everything around them is chaotic or stressful, because their anchor isn't in circumstances, it's in God.
That emotional stability we talked about.
Exactly. You see people operating in that sacrificial love, covering wrongs, restoring relationships, forgiving freely, going the extra mile without needing anything back. It's compelling. You see folks with sharp discernment, able to cut through the noise and confusion of the world, distinguish truth from deception, and walk with wisdom and clarity.
Navigating complexity well.
Yes. And you see people carrying genuine spiritual authority. Not bossiness, but an authentic weightiness that comes from intimacy with the Father. An authority that actually shifts atmospheres, brings light, brings hope.
And that generational vision.
That plays out too. You see them intentionally multiplying their lives into others, mentoring, discipling, equipping the next generation, raising up more mature sons and daughters. It's not just about personal holiness. It's about kingdom expansion through transformed lives.
Which leads us right back to that powerful verse in Romans 8, doesn't it? The one Blakeney really highlights as the ultimate why, Romans 8.12.
Oh, it's breathtaking. For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons, kuios of God.
Creation's waiting, eagerly longing. That's not just poetry, is it?
Not at all. It's a cosmic statement, a prophetic insight into God's big plan. The world, creation itself, isn't just waiting for another program, another conference, another outreach event.
What's it waiting for?
It's waiting for the mature church. It's waiting for the huios to be revealed. Not just saved people, but it's waiting for sent people. People who don't just know about the Father, but who truly know him intimately, who carry his presence consistently, who are equipped and empowered and willing to demonstrate his will, his kingdom, right here on earth, just like Jesus did.
So the world isn't waiting for more spectators.
No. Not more Christian spectators commenting from the sidelines. It's groaning, longing for mature sons and daughters, the huios, people who walk out the kingdom with integrity, with wisdom, with genuine power, people who bring heaven to earth in their families, their workplaces, their neighborhoods.
Releasing creation from bondage.
Our maturity is meant to be the answer to the world's deepest ache.
Wow. That's why we're here, why we were born again, to become those sons and daughters. So let's just circle right back to where we began this whole conversation. John 8.31, Jesus speaking to those who had believed. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples.
The condition is right there.
It is. And Glenn Blakeney sums up this whole journey so powerfully in his article, really capturing the heart of this deep dive. He says something like, Jesus made it plain, believing is not the end. It's the entry.
The starting point.
You were not just saved to survive. You were born again to become a mature son or daughter who walks in love, truth, power, and purpose. So to you, our listener, listening right now, hear that as a clear invitation from the Father's heart. Don't settle for spiritual childhood. Don't get comfortable and stall out in spiritual infancy. The call is so much higher. The purpose so much grander.
He's calling you into this deeper walk. Creation is literally groaning, waiting for you to step up, to be revealed. The time is now. to fully embrace that identity and purpose.
The journey to spiritual maturity has given you a lot to chew on, maybe challenged you, hopefully encouraged you in your own walk. And if you're feeling hungry for more, if you want more wisdom and practical guidance on this incredible journey to spiritual maturity, we can't recommend highly enough checking out the Kingdom Reformation community. Absolutely. You can subscribe to the Kingdom Reformation community, and when you do, you get access to a whole library of transformative stuff, powerful podcasts like this, yeah. Insightful videos, really enriching books.
And there's that monthly Zoom meeting too, right?
That's right. A chance to connect directly with Glenn Blakeney and others in the community, ask questions, learn together. Just head over to their website, KingdomReformation.org. There's also a free subscription option available, so you can start exploring right away, dip your toes in, begin digging into these truths without any initial commitment. So again, that's KingdomReformation.org.
Definitely worth checking out.
If the world, if creation itself, is truly waiting with eager longing for the revealing of God's mature sons and daughters, what's the specific step of growth, maybe just one step, that you feel invited into today, right now, right where you are, a step that would help you reflect his heart more fully and bring his kingdom just a little bit more into your world? Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We really look forward to digging into another topic with you again next time. Until then, keep digging deeper.